You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
And welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's day is Friday, June 23rd, 2023, and you're listening to me, Grandpa Dan, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, we've wrapped up into another week. Coming into the weekend, hopefully you get the weekends off. If not, nonetheless, we're celebrating. You can celebrate coming closer to the end of another week, and we're getting closer to the end of Pride Month, which is something else because we'll be getting closer to the end of the Friday installment of the Daily Nationalist. We can go back to being the regular Daily Nationalist. That's right. I'm keeping it going. I'm striving to keep the Daily Nationalist fabulous all the way through the month of June. See, we got to participating in the Pride. Of course, I'm having to participate in this by myself. And if Sven Longshanks was here, we might not be doing the Daily Nationalist because it's a lot better. There's a lot more professional attitude towards these things than yours truly, but I'm doing the best I can. Speaking of Sven, I'm going to continue to remind everybody at the bottom of these pages, we got links up where you can write to Sven, send financial support and whatnot. And hopefully you'll be able to do that. We're not going to forget our brother there, who's, of course, obviously under very unfortunate circumstances. But we are soldiering on his behalf. So as we get into today's show, we're going to be going to the Daily Mail for our story today. And, of course, as is usually the case, since this is a Daily Mail article, it's unnecessarily long. So I will be cutting through portions of this for time constraints, and because honestly, some of it is just unnecessary repeated gibberish. The Daily Mail is some of the most unprofessional writing possible. But nonetheless, we are going to the Daily Mail today, and I will have a link up in the description to the article if you want to read the stuff I'm not going to cover. If you want to put yourself through that, you're welcome to do so. So the title of this article today is Trust the Science. See, right off the bat, you know, when we title an article, a podcast here at Radio Albion, you know, I purposely try to keep, you know, the name of it succinct and to the point, you know, you're direct to the point. You read, you know, 2-3, maybe 4 words, and you get what the story is about right off the bat, because this is the Daily Mail. We've got basically a paragraph that serves as the title for the article. Anyway, title of the article is Trust the Science. Prestigious Johns Hopkins University erases women from woke new inclusive language guide that describes lesbians as non-men attracted to non-men, but still refers to male gays as men. The prestigious Johns Hopkins University has erased the word women from a newly produced inclusive language guide in its definition of the term lesbian. Now, they should put the once prestigious Johns Hopkins University. You see this in all of these institutions, whether they're corporate boards, churches, whatever. These people go into these once prestigious organizations. I mean, you got an organization here that can't define something simple, you know, as simple as women. How long are they going to remain prestigious? They're just riding on the coattails of their past history. They're not doing anything prestigious now. How are you going to expect this institution to come out with some cutting edge, modern, you know, latest, I don't know, life-saving medical treatment or whatever, when they're running around and they can't define simple terms that any of the rest of it? You go find the guy that rides on your garbage truck and ask him what's a woman, and he can probably give you a pretty straightforward definition. When they can't even handle actual, you know, plain definitions of words, they're not really very prestigious now, are they? The real victim in this story that never gets mentioned, because obviously I've read the story beforehand, so spoilers right off the bat. The true victim here in this story is words themselves, or vocabulary. Now, this whole story is centered around how this is just so bad for women. You see, women are the victims here. And you're going to have lots of women here whining about how they are the victims. Now, when women enjoyed the power of these institutions backing them up to bludgeon men over the head, then it was all well and good. But you see, now women have moved down on the ladder. And now they're behind on the alphabet people. Now they're at the back of the bus. They're at the back of the victim group bus. And they're all whining about it. And this is funny because what they're really complaining about, not that this is unjust, not because this isn't right, but because they want the power of these institutions to go back to backing them up, to giving them the power, to pressing, you know, to back them up so they can bludgeon men again and they can be at the front of the victim group line. It's not a bad, it's just all of a sudden when they don't enjoy that power, now, you see, it's a problem. But again, the real victim here is words. And I know I'm not the only one. Many of us have been pointing this out for quite some time. Words have to have meaning. You cannot have meaningful conversation. You can't have meaningful dialogue if the constant use of words is just being ever shifted. When they invent words, when they invent terms and never give you actual definitions of those things. A classic example is white supremacists. You see this on, he's a white supremacist. But they won't tell you what that actually means because it's a term that doesn't actually have a definition. It's just something they call somebody. It would be no different than if they said, you know, you're a big, ugly, meanie person or something. You know, it has no actual definition. It's just thrown around as a slur. It's thrown around as an insult. Words have to have meaning. Now, they've been slaughtering our vocabulary, sacrificing our vocabulary on the altar of political correctness or whatever you want to say, basically for liberalism, for a long time. And nobody's really cared. But of course, as these things tend to progress the way that they do, getting ever increasingly ridiculous, well, now, basic terms like women, just non-men, you see, it's non-men who are attracted to non-men. So, yeah, I mean, this is where we're at. And again, highlights how none of this is sustainable. The Baltimore-based university is known for its excellence in education and research, particularly in the field of medicine, and recognized as one of the top medical institutions in the world. Yet the establishment appears to fall well short when it comes to basic terminology involving the sexes in the university's LGBTQ+. Glossary. The extensive glossary is filled with definitions that aim to be inclusive, reflecting an evolving understanding of gender and sexual identity. But the current definition of lesbian describes it as a non-man attracted to non-men. Many feminists were particularly infuriated that the word woman was vanquished, while the gay male counterparts were still referred to as men. Again, they're riding on the coattails of the former greatness of this institution. Obviously, this institution's not going to be doing anything great from here on. They've got a new mission. I like how the writer of the article attempts to kind of paper over this. It kind of fluff it up. It's a fluffer. It's a fluffer for the LGBT article here. He says the extensive glossary is filled with definitions that aim to be inclusive. But you see, it's a good thing. They're aiming to be inclusive. They just want to be inclusive. And our evolving understanding of gender. Our evolving understanding of gender and sexual identity. And you see, again, this is an abuse. The journalist in question is abusing our vocabulary. It's not an evolving understanding. It is a devolving. You know, if it was evolving, if things are getting evolving, they become simpler to use. They become simpler and it becomes more easy to understand. If you have progress in technology, you know, back in the 80s, like when I was in high school, I took a typing class, and a part of the typing class, we did like 6 weeks doing computers, and it was complicated. You had to take these two floppy disks. I love that. Because young people are like, what the hell are you on about? You had to take these two floppy disks, and you had to put them in, and you had to do all of this stuff, complicated stuff. And all you had on your screen, you had this big TV, like not flat screen, big thick-ass TV, and it just flashed green text. That was all that was on there, was green text. And you do all this complicated stuff. And at the end of the day, all you could do on the computer was type. That's basically, you could type. It would save the type to the floppy disks that you put in here. But then when you were done, you had to go through this whole complicated thing again. You had to go through this whole complicated process just to turn the damn thing off. And you had to pull the two discs out like at the same time. You had to go through this whole rigmarole. But you see, we actually made progress with computers. I'm doing this article while recording at the same time on my little dinky laptop. This barely bigger than the keyboard that was on those old computers. Definitely doesn't weigh anything close to just the monitor. You see, that's progress. It got simpler to use. It got easier. Now, everybody could understand it. You couldn't take anybody and set them in front of the computer back in the 80s. It is a process. You had to learn. You had to take a class so that you could type on the screen versus actually just, you know, doing it on a typewriter at the time. That's progress. It got simpler. You can set anybody in front of a computer now, and without any instruction, eventually they'll figure it out. Because you're just basically clicking on things. You're clicking on things. I want to go here. I want to drag and drop. I want to do this. Now, granted, in some of this computer stuff, we're going the opposite. We're going this opposite direction. And programs that I used to use that were simple, you could just go click, click, and it did what you wanted to. Now they've made it more complicated. But I've gone far enough off with this. The point is, computers, we have made progress because they've gotten simpler to use, more easily understood, and there's not, you know, there's less and less needless complication. This is the opposite. You see, if this was evolving understanding, then it would become clearer. But it's not getting clearer, is it? We see this from this article. It's not getting more and more clear. It's getting more and more confusing, right? It's getting more and more gibberish now, where we're having to twist and we're basically these institutions are torturing and mutilating the corpse of the English language. They're just it's already dead, and they're just standing there just torturing a corpse, the English language. Not evolving because it's becoming more confusing. We're devolving. We're going from something so simple as ugh, man. Ugh, woman, zug, zug. Now we got 497 different genders because, you see, it's on a scale and it's all about how somebody feels. And, of course, you can't know how somebody feels, but it's totally on how they feel. And if they feel like a rock today, then they are a rock. But if they feel like a bird today, they are a bird, and so on and so forth. We keep having to add letters to the alphabet. I mean, really, at some point in time, it's going to be the A through Z glossary. The A through, because it's going to have a letter. We're going to start making up alphabet letters. We have to have new letters to cover everybody so that we can be even more inclusive, you see, because there's just no end. There's no end to our inclusivity. The glossary is emblematic of the current struggle faced by supporters transgender rights, who nonetheless claim that the word women is being erased in favor of woke terms such as birthing people and menstruators. Again, it's obvious that the journalist here is bending over backwards. You know, they're bending over backwards here to act like this is just, see, this is totally normal. And see, it's a struggle. The people actually having to struggle here are those who support all of this. In some cases, lesbian women have also complained of being bullied and shamed if they refuse to have sex with transgender women who still have penises. Somebody wrote this with a straight face. Because, of course they did. Because it's current year. John Hopkins' new guide is likely to inflame that ongoing argument even further. Supporters say the controversial terms are inclusive of transgender men and non-binary people. But critics say... See, this is another one of those. Just a moment. My brain just locked for a moment. Anyway, because... never mind. I'm not even going to get off into it. I'm sorry. But critics say they effectively erase another historically oppressed minority, women, at the expense of a tiny minority. We're told constantly how awful it is. This oppression. Another word, by the way, another word that has been mutilated. It's just bodies. Let the bodies hit the floor. Well, the bodies are all of these different words that have no meaning now. They've been redefined, twisted, and tortured to the point that they cease to exist. They're just a corpse, just a bloody corpse on the floor. And oppressed is apparently one of these things. You got all of these groups, you got all these formerly prestigious institutions, you got the government, all these institutions, these corporations, and churches, all of them, bending over backwards. We got a whole month of this stuff now. And this is what defines oppressed. You think about this. You got all the powerful institutions of the West. All the powerful institutions in the U.S. promote this 24/7, nonstop, whether the people want it or not. And these are the people that are oppressed. You see, being oppressed is having the government back you up 24/7 and put you at the front of the line. That's what oppressed is. And the rest of it, I mean, this is just more women whining because they want to be... This is... See, that's why... It's funny that people here, you see the struggle here. No, I'm the more oppressed one. You see, women, we're the more oppressed one. And it's like the alphabet people are, no, we're oppressed. And women are like, yeah, but we're more oppressed because there was more of us than y'all. But no, I'm oppressed. Doesn't it make sense that if oppression meant what we all classically, if you went back to the actual definition of the term, ain't nobody wanting to be oppressed. Everybody be like, try to figure out a way to not be oppressed. But yet these people are fighting tooth and nail with each other to be at the front of the oppressed line. Because it's not oppression at all. You get to be at the front of the group. You get the special privileges. Of course, we know who ain't going to be ever on that train. You know, the constant denominator. The regular white guys, they're not going to be. They're not going to be the ones. They're never getting a place on that train, you see. Because you don't get to be the oppressed. See, you're the oppressor. Even though all of these institutions don't have any place for you, you need not apply. Torturing these words have no meaning any longer. Some organizations have reached a compromise by publishing guides using, I will insert here, hilarious phrases like women and birthing people, but John Hopkins has made no such concessions. Many progressives have taken to using terms including pregnant people and even uterus havers. Uterus havers. You see, we're making so much progress on inclusivity. We're having to come up with more and more absurd terms so that we can be more and more inclusive. Uterus havers. I like that. Listen here, uterus haver. JHU's definition has been green-lighted by Paula Nera, the program director of LGBTQ plus equity and education at the university, who is herself transgender, and who, by the way, looks exactly what you would imagine they look like. She works with the school's Office of Diversity, Inclusion, and Health Equity, which, of course, isn't an actual job that has anything to do with medical research or any of this stuff that supposedly makes this institution prestigious. Nera chairs the Sexual Orientation and Gender Identity Work Group at the university. I don't know what this person gets paid, but it's damn sure more than any of you or any of me. I can go ahead and guarantee that. And just by the name of the job, you know, it is, by definition, a made-up job. What's your job? I'm the chairperson of the Sexual Orientation and Gender Identity Workshop at a university. You cannot say that with a straight face. Most of you working, listening to this, if you're not retired, You probably have, you know, actual jobs, you know, like doing actual things. Can you imagine showing up to work and be like, tell your coworkers, y'all hanging out, y'all on break. Tell your coworkers, they'd be like, hey, man, I got me a promotion. Your coworkers would be like, man, what you get? What kind of promotion you get? I'm the new chairperson of the Sexual Orientation and Gender Identity Work Group. That you can't. It'd be like, it's always this running joke, you know? What does that pay? Of course, a real job, if you had that, it would be like, well, it don't actually pay anymore. It's just a made-up title. But this person getting paid for a made-up job. Now, we already heard how Johns Hopkins University is prestigious because they're on the cutting edge of medical research. But how can you be on the cutting edge when you got people getting paid money to be the chair of the Sexual Orientation and Gender Identity Work Group? And they're obviously doing a crappy job because they can't even define what a woman is. Uterus havers. They can't even define what these uterus havers are. The entire department Nera works in is overseen. This department is so important. This person has a supervisor. It's overseen by Sharita Hill Golden, MD, who has the label of Chief Diversity Officer. You see, you got who's your boss when you tell everybody at your workplace that this is your new job. Oh, who do you answer? Well, I answer to the Chief Diversity Officer. Well, answering to the Chief Diversity Officer tells everybody right away, this is a real job, especially at a place that's supposed to be involved on the cutting edge of medical research. Golden, who is black, has now, I got to point out here, because most of y'all ain't going to be reading along the article with me. I wouldn't. I'm not inserting that here. I don't want no haters, you know, listening in. They like looking for some instance. See, they're trying to point out something, you know, trying to stir something up. I'm just reading the article word for word. I have no idea. I honestly, when I read this, this is something that really jumped out to me. Because, you know, you read these news stories, you know, and like whenever the perpetrator of a crime is white, they always make it a point to say, a white man. And normally, like when it's black people, it's a group of teens or, you know, a man, just the ambiguous a man with no description. Until you just have to go look at the photo yourself to figure out who a man is. It really struck me that the author of this article made it a point to point out that the head of the chief diversity officer in charge of this is black. And I, honest to goodness, I mean that. I'm not even being like funny here. I am trying to be funny just as a general tone. But I'm not even being funny here. I have no idea what the fact that this woman is black has to do with this story at all. I mean, the whole story is about this whole alphabet thing, and we can't decide what a woman is. They're just uterus havers. I have no idea what the fact that this woman is black has to do with this. I can't imagine that if you put one of these screeching white women in charge of you, get anything any different. But anyway, nonetheless, back to our story here. I just wanted to make it a point that y'all understood that I'm not pointing out that she's black. This is actually the author of the story. Golden, who is black, she's not golden at all, she's black, has helped to implement the university's culturally and linguistically appropriate services. That's a mouthful. Gee, we're doing medical research here. Oh, really? What part of medical research do you work on? Well, we're implementing the university's culturally and linguistically appropriate services standards. What is that, you ask? Well, I'm here to tell you, it's a system-wide policy prohibiting patient discrimination toward employees and trainees. I'm not sure how patients are discriminating against anybody. That one's mind-boggling. How the patients, I'm trying to think this because I've been in the hospital several times in the past year. And I can't think of any way in which I, as a patient in the hospital, because you're a patient in the hospital, you're at their mercy. They do all kinds of things to you. When the nurse showed up after my kidney surgery and yanked that catheter out of my dingus, I was definitely the victim here. She took all my dignity. She just walks in there and yanks up the deal and stands there looking at me. And I looked at her and I said, you done took all my dignity. I have no dignity now. You're just a strange woman. I don't even know your name. And you walk in here and yank up the blanket and tell you, look, Well, that's got to come out of there. You ready? I guess I'm as ready as I'm ever going to be. Yanked that thing out of there. Like she was trying to pull start a damn chainsaw. Luckily it did. Unlike a chainsaw, it came out in one pull. Y'all didn't want to hear about that. The point is, I'm not even sure how patients could be discriminating towards employees and trainees. You're a patient. You're at their mercy. They come in, do whatever the hell they want to you. But somehow they're being protected now. Golden also introduced a system-wide unconscious bias and anti-racism train the trainer program. Train the trainers about system-wide unconscious bias and anti-racism. Train the I like vocabulary. I like words. I like proper English. I like proper use of punctuation. I like these things. And you're just so painful. See, butchered. Butchered up by all of this gibberish. Now, the university has since released a statement to dailymail.com explaining how the glossary was... Now, this is so funny. Because we just read this whole thing about how all these people are implementing this stuff. This person signed off on it. And they were at the forefront of it. But now we're going to get the exact opposite. We're going to get an exact contradiction to what we've read up to this point. The university has since released a statement to dailymail.com explaining how the glossary was not compiled under the auspices of the Office of Diversity and Inclusion. The LGBTQ glossary is a resource posted on the website of the Johns Hopkins University Office of Diversity and Inclusion. The definitions were not reviewed or approved by ODI leadership, and the language in question has been removed pending review. Paula Niera and Sherita Golden are leaders at Johns Hopkins Medicine and have no involvement in this university matter. This doesn't make any sense to me. We just read that they were at the forefront of this. Now, obviously, somebody posted it up on the website. Was that just an intern or something? We just read that they were the ones signing off. But now they come around and the university is saying, no, it's not what you see here. Paula Niera and Sherita Golden are leaders at Johns Hopkins University of Medicine, have no involvement in this university matter. So they're saying this is somehow outside of their jurisdiction, but yet they were able to do it. I'll be honest, I'm not even sure what they're saying here. University is just trying to CYA on this. Now, as I go through this article, I've come to the conclusion that the guy writing this article, like, he was just assigned. He didn't volunteer to go out and do this because he obviously doesn't feel comfortable writing about this story. We're going to skip through a bunch of stuff because it's the usual lazy journalist thing of, you know, copy-pasting screenshots of random people's Twitter posts, reactions to this. And the outrageous reactions mostly are just women whining about not being at the front of the victimhood group and being inched to the back. How this is so bad. And then I don't even know where he's going with this because he says the incident echoes what is a broad backlash from conservatives against LGBTQ plus rights and the increasing acceptance of queer communities in society. Well, I'm not seeing a conservative backlash here. I'm seeing women whining because they're not being able to be the number one victim group here. They want to be the oppressor. I'm the number one oppressed group is what they're saying. I don't see what the hell this has to do with conservative backlash. Several state legislatures have passed laws. Again, I have no idea what this has to do with the story. This is what I mean. This is why I cut so much stuff out of these Daily Mail articles, because it just rambles off. It's like they obviously have like a number of word quota for these stories, and they will just put random stuff. So often you'll read these stories and like you're halfway through the story and like, man, it's a long story. And then you realize the second half of the story is just another story you already read. They just copied and pasted it at the end to make it even longer. Apparently, the longer a story is at the Daily Mail, the more they think it's hard hitting or meaningful or something. Now, I have no idea what the hell state legislatures passing laws targeting transgender communities. No idea. Now, remember, at the forefront of this, you would say, what are these laws? Well, it's that Florida law, the one they called, you know, don't say gay. which said that you have to wait till at least the fourth grade to start teaching kids, little kids, how to give oral sex to people of the same gender, or that they might be, you know, a girl instead of a boy. Third grade, they're just too young, but fourth grade, they got, this is what constitutes targeting transgender communities, particularly focusing on parental access to gender-affirming care for trans children. Trans children. We never had this issue before. This is what's so crazy to me, you know, being, you know, because I've been alive long enough, I remember when things weren't insane. But then again, now you don't have to be really old to remember the times when things weren't insane. I mean, you remember 10 years ago? There wasn't an issue 10 years ago. Did we have this big problem with trans children 10 years ago? Why is it a problem now? I saw some hysterical, I don't know, hysterical person online. I don't even remember where it was, whining about how this endangers the lives of trans children. Dangers the lives of trans children could be dying from this. Well, then what were they doing 10 years ago when y'all weren't pushing this on them? When you weren't pushing this on kids? Trans children is the most stupid thing. Well, no, I take that back. Let me reel that back. You can't say the most stupid thing in current clown world because tomorrow is another day. Just children. Prepubescent children. Okay. They're all, I mean, when you look at kids, little kids, because all this is, they're focusing on right now. They're talking about, like I said, the Florida bill says fourth grade. That's the divining point when, okay, they're old enough to learn that they could go on puberty blockers before it gets too late. That way they'll be able to be a more passable transgender when they get a little older. Little kids by their nature. You see, you could put a group of fourth graders out there. You could put a group of fourth grade kids out there and put them in a contact football game. You could do that. No, I mean it. Boys, girls, and put them in contact football. And you know what? The star of that football team could be a little girl. No, it could really happen. Why? Because the hormones haven't kicked in. In a lot of ways, little kids are, I don't know, because I don't really know the term. I was going to say they could all be considered non-binary, but I don't want to start adopting their gibberish language that doesn't really have definition. But you know what I'm saying. The difference between an 8-year-old little boy and an 8-year-old little girl is strictly pretty much physical in the sense that, you know, well, you know, how they're designed there. But I mean, as far as like physical capabilities, I'm going to get this spit out here in a minute. Physical capabilities is very, just very little. So the point that they're trying to say, oh, well, you have these transgender kids, all you're going to be talking about is dressing them up in a dress. Is putting a little boy into a girl's dress or something. I mean, because the differences between them aren't that marked. Anyway, you get what I'm saying? Because the hormones haven't kicked in yet. You know, I mean, they're physically capable. You took, in my example here, now you took and did the same thing when these same group of kids are now 16 and the girls are going to be like being carried out on stretchers. Because they're not able to do that. You know, the difference in physical strength has now kicked in. The hormones have kicked in. It's a markedly different deal. It's not a matter. You can go to put the boy in a dress and say he's a girl. Because he's obviously not. Anyway, I don't even know where I was. I'm just going to pick up here. Yeah. Trans children. Yes. Gender affirming care for trans children. Little kids that haven't even hit puberty yet. Influenced by a small number of far right voices. They're influenced. See, it's just a small number. The small number, this projection, by the way, in case you don't get it, just a small number of people. Far right voices. Some conservatives have also criticized companies and brands. This is small. Influence of small people. That's why Anheuser-Busch's stock has plummeted. Target's going the way of, I don't know, TGNY. You probably ain't old enough to remember TGNY. It's sad. Now it'd be sad to see Target go. Criticize companies and brands such as Target and Bud Light and have marketed products towards LGBTQ+ communities or that participate in Pride Month events. Now you say, they don't care about that. Nobody was ever stopping. I'm sure that as long as gay bars have existed in the U.S., they've probably served Bud Light there. I'm sure they have. And nobody cared about that. I mean, they were obviously marketing Bud Light towards the gay community or the transgender community, who the hell ever else. The whole point is now they're shoving it down everybody's throats. That's the backlash. Everybody's sick of this stuff, and they made it clear they're determined to go after kids with this stuff. And everybody's had enough of it. And everybody's starting to push back. And, oh my gosh, look, it's just a small number of right-wing voices. I'm going to tell you, a small number of right-wing voices ain't making Budweiser's, Anheuser-Busch's stocks plummet to the toilet, losing billions in market cap. That ain't because there's only like five people. It's only like five people bitching about it. Let's see. After publication of this story, John Hopkins contacted DailyMail.com to say that we've already heard this. I don't know why this guy's repeating this here. The controversial guide has been taken down. The college also claimed that neither Nero nor Golden were involved in creating the definition of lesbian. The university would not state who was behind the new document. The university has been known for its rigorous academics, commitment to research and innovation, and its contributions to advancing knowledge and solving complex problems in a wide range of fields. Well, now they can't figure out what the hell a woman is. They come in up trying to figure out what's the latest in the 617 different genders or whatever the hell. I wouldn't be expecting any greatness from John Hopkins University. Is it there run out now trying to be like, Oh, yeah, we don't even know who put that in. We don't even know. We don't know who put that up. We don't know who came up with these definitions or who put it up there. If it sure wasn't these two, obviously, that wouldn't reach it. That's all I can do. That's all I can do. Not because of time constraints for the show, just because that's all I can stomach, y'all. I just... Can you imagine spending the amount of money? And because I go the extra mile, I just looked it up. 1 year. And remember, they don't go to school all year. They take breaks. 1 year of tuition at John Hopkins University is $60,000. A little over that, a little under, depending on what you take. It's $60,000. $60,000 a year. Can you imagine spending $60,000 a year, your money, send your kid to John Hopkins? And this is what you're getting. I can't imagine spending $60,000 a year to send a young person to any college. But this is what they're getting. This is what you're going to get. When your kid comes out of there after their first year, you spend $60,000. Your kid just finished up their freshman year, and they're going to come home, and their hair going to be purple. They're going to be talking, lecturing you about how many different genders there are and how you got all this privilege and you're oppressing the people that the government support the most and are the media promotes 24/7 and the powerful corporations are all shoving down your throat. They're the oppressed ones. And they're going to tell you how you're a bigot and you're stupid. And I ain't going to feel sorry for you because you spent $60,000 for that. You don't make any more sense than the people that spent $250,000 to get on that death sub. You can say, if you got that kind of money and you're going to spend $250,000 to get on a death sub, I ain't going to feel sorry for you when you're on the bottom of the ocean. I'm sorry. I'm just not, because that's just stupid. You spend $60,000. You got so much money. You spend $60,000 and you send them to John Hopkins University. Got people like here. You done read this story. You done heard about it here. And you, when they, your kids come home and your boy decides, says that he's transgender, or your girl comes home and says she's thinking about cutting her tits off, and how they hate you because you're an oppressor. I'm sorry, don't come whining to me. I feel sorry for you. You spent $60,000, you got what you paid for. You've got to expect it. We'll wrap up on that note. I hope you enjoyed. I tried to keep it lighthearted. Sven always wants the Friday Daily Nationalist, always wanted it to be lighthearted. I'm trying to continue in that vein. It's not too hard. I make lighthearted. I do funny. I hope y'all enjoy your weekend. I really do. I hope you'll come back. I'll be back on Monday for the Daily Nationalist, and I hope to see you there. Hope you'll come by and check out my show on Tuesday for the Parish of the Patriots. Of course, we have content. I keep reminding everybody we have content up every weekday, Monday through Friday, between Dr. Johnson and myself. And I think it's all great stuff. I'd like to think so. And I hope you'll be able to check all of that out as well. So, yeah, until then, stay sane, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.